The Marching Round Table is proud to be an official media partner of Drum Corps International.
This podcast is sponsored by Digital Performance Gear, found at digitalperformancegear.com. This is Tim Hinton with another great conversation recorded live at the Arcadia Music and Arts Symposium in Arcadia, California. Educator Dan Berard talked with me about the unintended consequences of don't. We're all really busy as directors, but are you always in a hurry, frantic to prepare for the next performance? Dan encourages us to think about long-term educational goals, the language we're using, and not just create a quick fix at the moment.
As a director, sometimes we think the quickest result is, you know, don't rush, don't drag. You know, it's too loud. And we give kind of these really nebulous statements that name the issue, but don't really provide any substantive feedback for the student to make some improvement. And so the session that we talked about was really about, you know, from a pedagogy standpoint, as a director, how do we bridge that gap between what they did versus what we hope they can do?
And the language you choose to use.
And the language you choose to use. You know, how many times have any of us been in a situation where, you know, don't play too loud? And that statement, you know, may fix an immediate issue, but, you know, don't play too loud in relation to what?
Great information you can use. Recorded live at the Arcadia Music and Arts Symposium and shared here on the Marching Roundtable. This podcast is sponsored by Digital Performance Gear, found at digitalperformancegear.com. Digital Performance Gear provides innovative choices for uniforms, flags, props, floors, and more for the pageantry arts. They are dedicated to providing the highest level of customer experience from design through production and to delivery. Using all digital print methods, the possibilities are endless when it comes to designing for your conceptual needs. DPG Apparel enhances their offerings through an exciting line of decorated apparel items and accessories using the latest technologies in digital printing, screen printing, and embroidery. Digital Performance Gear wants to change the way the industry looks, and they want the industry to look like whatever you imagine. Check them out at digitalperformancegear.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Marching Roundtable Podcast. This is Tim Hinton. Thank you so much for listening. I'm at the Arcadia Music and Arts Symposium, and I am having these fantastic sort of live recordings with the really impressive group of people that are here presenting and talking and interacting with everybody. And today I'm here with Dan Berard. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me.
So thanks for being here.
Yeah.
What has your experience been so far at the symposium here in Arcadia?
Yeah, this symposium is really hitting on all cylinders right now. It's been great. I was fortunate enough to be, you know, asked to come and be a presenter here. And so I've given a few things, but the great thing is kind of the opportunity to sit in the different sessions and just hear from these just amazing, amazing people. And it's really kind of an interesting, just, I guess, vibe of the whole symposium where it's everybody is really open to sharing the best information they have and, you know, sparking conversations in the courtyard or over dinner or whatever. So it's been incredible.
Yeah. It's exciting for the people that are attending to have access to have a conversation with someone like yourself who's, you know, or any of the other people that are here. So I didn't ask you this. Tell us a little bit where you're from and what you do there.
Yeah. I am actually just finishing up my tenure as director of bands at Fossil Ridge High School in Fort Collins, Colorado. I was there, opened that school and was there for 15 years. And now I am in the process of moving to just outside of Kansas City to become the director of bands at Grain Valley High School. Looking forward to that. And also just kind of jumping off the road after spending a couple of weeks as part of the brass team with the cadets, drum and bugle corps. So this is kind of wedged in between a couple of things that I've got going this summer.
Wow. So you're moving, you're starting a new school, you're doing the symposium, and you're working with the cadets?
Yeah. It's been a pretty crazy summer.
That's a lot of stuff.
But, you know, it's been great. It's staying active, you know, and being around people that are really that interested in learning. And certainly with the drum corps thing is incredible to kind of be around students who want to go after, you know, that level of excellence. It really is like the greatest professional development you can do, you know,
Absolutely. So you did a session here at the symposium, The Unintended Consequences of Don't, which I think is really, really interesting. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. So tell us about that.
Well, thanks. You know, it kind of sprung out of a conversation that I had with a very, very good mentor of mine. And he had spent about a week with the ensemble. And basically it came down to, Dan, you are just a rehearsal technician. And at the time, I thought that was like a really huge compliment. And then we kind of dug into it a little bit. And I found that I was really good at managing the mistakes of the ensemble. And my ears had gotten trained, and I could get to the heart of what was wrong with the performance really quickly, and was really getting a pretty good toolbox of being able to get the ensemble to where I wanted. But then it became obvious that was not really giving me the results that I was hoping for long term. And I found that, you know, as directors in an ensemble, we spend a lot of time dealing with what's wrong with the performance. In a drum corps situation, a marching band situation, in a wind ensemble or whatever, you know, we're always kind of dealing with that gap between what we want to hear and what we actually hear. If you flip that script a little bit from the learner, you know, the student perspective, there's that gap between what they intend to achieve and what they actually achieve. And so as a director, sometimes we think the quickest result is, you know, don't rush, don't drag. You know, it's too loud. And we give kind of these really nebulous statements that name the issue, but don't really provide any substantive feedback for the student to make some improvement. And so the session that we talked about was really about, you know, as a from a pedagogy standpoint, as a director, how do we bridge that gap between what they did versus what we hope they can do?
And the language you choose to use.
And the language you choose to use. You know, how many times have any of us been in a situation where, you know, don't play too loud? And that statement, you know, may fix an immediate issue, but, you know, don't play too loud in relation to what?
You're right. That's interesting you say that, because we all use those terms all the time. But you're right. When I think about it, now that you've said it, mm-hmm. it doesn't really give much information about what that really means, or what am I going to learn from that to be a better performer in the future?
Exactly. And so the session is really kind of this lighthearted way of kind of getting to the nuts and bolts of flipping the script to your pedagogy just a little bit. And what we kind of do is give it a shot. Take a statement like that, you know, don't rush. How many times have we heard a director say, you know, don't rush? And actually maybe script out a couple of different ways of what is really the problem. Is the problem an internal pulse issue from the performer? Is the problem an ensemble issue? And just finding ways to restate that and asking, you know, the question in a different way instead of a statement, you know, don't rush. Maybe some directed listening, you know, hey, flutes, can we lock into the pulse that, you know, the brass section has given us in measure 12 through 14? Or, you know, with balance issues, instead of, you know, don't play too loud, or, you know, again, it's in relation to what, you know, maybe the question is, you know, hey, trumpets, at the end of this performance, could you tell me how your part fits with the clarinet part? And, you know, you're addressing the same issue, but you're addressing it from a really different perspective and putting kind of the emphasis back on the performer. You know, you're providing, maybe asking some questions, providing some information that just really raises some awareness, so that as a conductor, you're not always the one that is just, you know, you've got your octopus arms on every little mistake in the ensemble.
Right.
But what you're really trying to do is get the members of your ensemble to be able to be independent and making good quality decisions and musical decisions and having discussion, so that it does kind of shift the power of the ensemble from the podium to the people. And we have a much more democratic kind of approach that way. And at the same time, maybe getting students just from compliance to discovery to contribution to like a deeper kind of involvement in the ensemble, whereas they're active in their own education instead of just waiting for whatever nugget of information I might be able to give them. And that's been a really powerful shift in our ensembles over the last couple of years, you know. So
I think what you just said is like profound.
Well, thank you.
Okay, so if everybody that's listening, rewind and listen to the last 2 minutes again, because it's so interesting. We're talking about this because I work with my friend Mary White, and we do a lot of marching clinics together, shows we've worked on. And we talk about this now, the last few years, all the time. The students are just being compliant. They're not owning the show. They're not, they're not contributing through themselves. They're simply trying to not mess up, to be compliant with what the director wants and not get yelled at.
Sure, for sure.
That's a complete different thing than you're an independent performer. Can you make music out of this phrase and blend the ensemble? And that's huge.
Exactly. And I think what happens is as directors, sometimes we feel that that our time is so finite that we have to, you know, in the guise of being efficient and getting to the performance, you know, and making a clean, you know, version of Lincolnshire Posey or whatever you might be playing, that it's our onus to fix all the things. And, you know, if we empower the people in the ensemble to do that, you've just increased your personnel resources by every member of that ensemble. And it really is kind of a shift in focus. The more information that they need, then the more they need to be involved in finding that information. You know, like say for a marching band example, how many times do we see, you know, a performer that's maybe kind of back on their heels and they're necessarily not engaged, and so they're not going to be successful in the reps. So what do we tell them? Don't lean back. Well, what's kind of the most logical reaction to that comment? They're going to lean forward. Well, that's not the fix either. You know, so from a pedagogy standpoint is really being clear with what we're aspiring to. And again, I just kind of come back to that phrase, spend less time talking about what you're trying to avoid and more time talking about what you're trying to achieve.
Right. Because the point is, if you're saying them don't lean back, you've completely skipped the whole part of the process about why are they leaning back? What does that mean?
Right.
Why is the student doing that and fixing that?
Yeah. And so the session really, you know, it's just been something, again, it came out of a real point of weakness for me. And I actually, you know, a mentor of mine said, you know, I want you to record your next 3 weeks worth of rehearsals and transcribe what you wrote. And it was just shocking. You know, I thought I was just killing it in rehearsal because, man, as soon as something happened, bam, 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 bam,
bam. You were fixing a lot of problems and they were getting better.
The problem is then the very next time we got to that same problem, they had no tools whatsoever to fix
it. Exactly.
So I was fixing problems in rehearsal, but I was not teaching concepts. I was not giving kids the ability to transfer a concept from the Holst suites to a Sousa march.
Right.
Or, you know, in terms of melodic shaping, they were really conductor dependent. If I didn't show a crescendo, then they didn't crescendo. And so there's just a level of, you know, at the end of the day, yes, we want to have these great performances, but ultimately we're trying to create, you know, independent musicians who can make valid decisions and be part of the process as well. And that's really kind of changed, I think, how we have been approaching the ensembles a little bit. So just taking that step back of what are some of the most common things that you hear? And certainly as a conductor, you have to have kind of the artistic vision and, you know, be able to kind of wrangle some of these desperate, you know, ideas of where we're going into a unified vision. That's not what I'm saying. But allowing the students the opportunity to kind of have that and opening that discussion. And, you know, again, instead of, you know, how many times have you heard, you know, a high school trumpet player and, you know, they're struggling to get into the upper register. So you know, don't pinch. Well, that's not really going to give them the information to get better. You know, so it's just maybe taking a step back and really taking a look at your pedagogy and finding ways to provide information that allows you to provide, you know, the information that the student needs, but then also giving the student the opportunity to kind of maybe navigate those waters themselves a little bit.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, if they're able to come to that discovery themselves from some guidance, it's probably going to be a much more impactful experience than if every time they make a mistake, I'm giving them what the answer should be.
Oh, yeah, if they become an independent performer, a better musician.
Exactly.
How much more music can you make? How much better music can you play with your ensemble
when
they're they have the ability to be self-sufficient like that.
For sure. And it's with every ensemble. It's been something I've tried to instill when I'm teaching middle school kids, you know, all the way up to the cadets. You know, mm-hmm. those are just some incredible performers. They are, I mean, at sometimes we think that those kids are superhuman because they do superhuman things. And
right.
then
right.
you take a step back and you're like, oh yeah, well the kid's 19 and they're vulnerable. And so, you know, what do they need? And a catchphrase we've just really been using a lot is, you know, with those students is be your best instructor. You know, be proactive. Be your best field tech. You know, and at the end of every rep, you know, let's critically evaluate. What did you do well? What do you need to, you know? And so there's questions that come up then that engage them versus statements that elicit their compliance.
Well, you're giving the performer ownership
for sure
of their performance
for
and
sure.
the responsibility of doing their own job without you having to spoon feed it to them, because you can't get it done.
Certainly you can't get it done. And ultimately, I don't know that that's our mission as educators. You know, our mission as educators really, you know, we get caught in kind of the trappings because it's easy for everybody. You know, it's easy for the community to show up on Friday night at the football game and make a value judgment about whether the band is great this year or not, you know. Mm. And what's hard is to know that it's a long-term investment. And what we're really trying to do is create some independent thinkers and a community of people who are hopefully moving towards a common goal. And so sometimes in our, as a director, whether it's ego or stress or time crunch or the, you know, performance coming up on Friday, and it's easier sometimes just to take the shortcut.
Because you can fix it.
You can fix
it. And you can make it better.
You can make it better.
But that's only short term.
Yes. And then the very next time you have that same issue, you're back fixing the problem because you haven't taught what the fix to the problem is.
Yeah, you're actually talking about – this is interesting that we're having this conversation because – I've been having this basic conversation all weekend with people. The overarching idea is sort of like, how are you doing what you're doing? Can you think bigger?
Exactly.
Can you think bigger picture? Because I wrote down here, I feel like band directors are in a time crunch. They've got the next performance, the next concert, the next, you know, audition for their kid or whatever. And they're so busy that it's very easy to get caught up in that. I've just got to fix this. Like you said, for Friday night, as opposed to thinking big picture, which is what am I trying to teach these students over this year, over 5 years? That's a completely different context.
For sure. And I think once you start kind of maybe framing your pedagogy in that, then it really kind of changes your
pedagogy. It changes everything.
Yeah.
It changes everything.
And then, too, you know, there's in my mind, there are parallel pathways that happen in the ensemble that should hopefully be equal. You know, what is – one is the kind of performance track, and I think – as band directors, we are great in the performance track.
Mm-hmm.
What are they able to demonstrate that they can do? But there's a parallel path that I think a lot of times gets to the back burner in the crunch is, well, what are they able to demonstrate that they know? And those things, you know about music, whether that's form or structure, or historical context, or, hey, in Mozart, you're going to play this trill this way, and in Beethoven, you're going to play the trill this way, or, you know, what do they know about the music they're performing? Not just, can they play the most amazing version of, you know, whatever hot piece right now? That, you know, technically flawless and soulless is the way I call it. So once you kind of go back into that mode, then, you know, those discussion items become part of the context. You can maybe, you know, maybe instead of always saying, you know, hey, we're going to take it back to letter A, hey, we're going to take it back to the beginning of the exposition. And that's a very different comment that forces kids to go like, well, what? First of all, what the heck is the exposition? Well, okay, we got to have that discussion. And then B, once we've had that discussion, are you able to apply that in the music that we're talking about? You know, and so just the whole idea of that concept of getting out of what seems to be the most efficient on the surface, it appears to be the most efficient and effective use of our rehearsal time. And it's very director centric. You know, it's really reliant upon if you've got a great, you know, a great conductor, great band director, then the band should be great. And it's just maybe just taking a little step back and challenging ourselves as the conductors to have a little bit more trust in the people who are in the room and allow them, you know, guide them to that discovery themselves versus always just having to do it for them.
Right. And again, like the, sort of the, another way to frame that, that I, like I said, I've been talking about this all weekend here at the Arcadia Symposium is, are you just, are they pawns in the next concert's performance, or are you building great musicians and great citizens?
Exactly.
Like, you know, like this is what we know. We're really trying to teach young people how to be successful in life.
Right.
I mean, we have had this conversation a lot, and that's really our job.
Right.
Through music.
Through music, for sure.
And so if we can sort of, and I know so many directors are so stressed out about the next evaluation and the next, what are their people going to think of their next show or whatever. But if you stop and you get this context going every now and then, wait a minute, what am I really doing?
And I think it really changes the way students feel about being in that ensemble.
Absolutely.
You know, I know, it was an unbelievably rewarding experience to be at Foster Ridge High School. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to open the school and, you know, really be forced to think about, okay, well, there are things we need to do today so we can do this in 10 years. And so to be thinking kind of like from an aspirational standpoint from the time, you know, I took the job, we started with 18 kids in the band and, you know, 7 years later, we're at the National Concert Band Festival.
Wow.
And so those are the types of things, that, you know, there are things that change how kids feel about it. And you can go to a lot of great band programs around, the country, and kids will have a lot of pride in being in that band program because of things that are successful. But then, you know, if you really dig in, we're like, okay, well, tell me why you love being in the X and X marching nights or whatever. And they don't really know why. They just, you know, they're successful. They have fun. They get to do great things. Sometimes they play great music. Sometimes it's just because they're part of this gigantic organization. And they feel like they found a place in the school. But, you know, kind of thinking back to my time at Foster Ridge High School, like the way kids feel connected to the school and to that ensemble, those ensembles, was really, really moving in terms of, yeah, we played incredible music, but we also became incredible people.
Right. And that's the thing is you're taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
And that's why being in a situation like this at the symposium, it reminds you of these kind of things because it's very easy in the grind to forget.
For sure. And one of the things, you know, maybe circling back to one of the first things we talked about, this symposium is great because there are just these absolute like masters of the craft that are here.
Yeah.
You know, and I was talking with somebody about it the other day and, you know, like if you were going to go and take like some cooking lessons from a master chef, there's a tendency that like that master chef is going to leave out like the one or two special ingredients that really make their thing happen.
Like how your grandmother would never
exactly
they just never really give the recipe for the pound cake, and your wife is like, it never tastes as good.
Right. Because, you know, because
from, hold back.
What happens? Yeah. What happens if they're, you know,
their eggs, pound cake is as good as mine.
Or better than mine.
Yeah, right.
And the thing that has been so refreshing here is everybody just lays it bare. Like, no, here's exactly what I do. And by God, I hope yours is better than mine. Please.
Right.
Steal everything and then come back next year with how you did it. You
know? Well, I've had that conversation all weekend too. People that really are great at their craft, they're happy to tell you everything they can because they know that – they could tell you everything. You're not going to do it like them. You're going to do it like you. And they want you to.
Right.
So they don't worry about their own success somehow being affected by what you know. And all it's amazing on the podcast and webinars we do and everything. Everybody's willing. The top people, they don't have that issue. They're like, I'll tell you anything I can to help you.
For sure.
You know, Scott Chandler doesn't worry about somebody else. He can tell you everything he does. Like I have a new course with Scott Chandler about his design device. And he'll tell you everything about his process. Because he knows that he does it his thing.
Yeah.
You're not, you know, you're going to do your thing. I'm not explaining this very clearly.
I get it. You know,
they're very free to share.
And that's what's been great here. And I feel the same way. It's, it was a transformation that at the time that it, you know, for this particular session we're talking about, at the time it came out of a place that was somewhat painful, you know, to have one of my absolute mentors, you know, just this paragon person that I looked up to, and I was like, oh my God, he's going to come out and spend a 4 days with us, and this is going to be an incredible opportunity. And then through some discussions and being vulnerable and finding out that what I thought I was doing was not actually what I was doing. And sometimes, you know, this is maybe really off topic. Sometimes you just need those mentors who are going to be able to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And that's where the growth kind of happens. And so that was maybe the inspiration for this particular kind of through line that I've been having, whether it was, you know, the panel discussion that we just got done with, or the one we're doing here in a little bit, is, you know, how do we get to the real nuts and bolts, you know, versus the perceived nuts and bolts? You know, how do we create the environment where, you know, again, we live in that feedback loop between what they did and what we want them to do. And how we navigate that gap is really where I think the rubber meets the road. Because we can either build up or we can tear down in that split second decision. You know, and certainly in marching band, you know, the flag is either up or down. You know, if the flag's not in the right place, it's really obvious that it's not. There's not a lot of nuance to that. But how we handle the correction needs to be infinitely nuanced.
Absolutely. That's such a great thing to remember. I also love that you were willing to be vulnerable and learn something that was hard to hear because you wanted to be better.
For sure.
Right. So that was a tough pill to swallow. But then how much better of an educator did you become after you learned that?
Yeah. You know, and the people who I admire the most are the ones who are really able, like they're unbelievably strong people. And they're unbelievably vulnerable people, you know, and they seek out that information, which is really kind of, I think, why, you know, this is such a cool experience, because people are genuinely interested to go like, yeah, man, help me, just how do I do that better? And so, you know, if my session or the kind of just opening that discussion helped out a little bit, you know, just talking about the experiences that we all go through, it was hopefully it'll be beneficial for everybody.
Yeah, don't just say don't. Figure out, change your language. That is really powerful. By the way, I mentioned to you, I'll share this too, is that I was talking to somebody who was at the symposium, and I said, what's the best thing you've heard so far this weekend? He's like, yeah, it was that I don't want to say don't so much in rehearsal. So I think that you're really, a lot of people really got a lot out of that. So thank you for being here and sharing
it. Thank you. Again, it's just... Just if I could leave with one thing, it's just really take the time to think about how you can frame what you're trying to do in terms of what you're trying to achieve versus what you're trying to avoid. And once you make that leap and kind of are able to frame your pedagogy around that kind of aspiration, magical things are going to happen in your ensemble.
It's profoundly life-changing for everybody. That's great, great advice.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for taking time to talk to
me. Thank you for having me.
And while I'm thinking about it, I also want to thank Jordan and James, who spent the weekend with me helping me get these recordings out. They've done a fantastic job, so thanks to them too.
Yeah. And you can edit this out later, but I just want to say thank you to the Yamaha Corporation. I'm here courtesy of their Master Educators program. So if you're interested, please check it out at, you know, search Yamaha Master Educators, and there's some great resources that are coming available for everybody.
Yeah, and I appreciate them and a lot of other great companies sponsoring.
For sure.
Having people like yourself here, it's awesome.
Thank you very much
for all you're doing for the activity, sharing your expertise.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time.
There are a total of 12 podcasts that will be released, recorded live at the Arcadia Music and Arts Symposium. So look for those already released and watch for those still upcoming. Conversations with some of the biggest names in the marching arts. Find out more about the Arcadia Symposium at arcadiasymposium.com. Keep up with information about what podcasts we're recording and when they'll be released by following the Marching Roundtable on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And get our biweekly newsletter by signing up for a free VIP membership at marchingroundtable.com. Imagine having your best season ever. You and your staff can learn from Scott Chandler of the Blue Devils, our activity's most successful designer, in the new course, Scott Chandler, Design Advice from Forward March. Sign up as an individual or sign up your entire staff at one lower cost at marchingartseducation.com. It's over 5 hours of great practical ideas, and we show you how to put them in action with your group right away. Make your staff more effective and your group more successful.
marchingartseducation.com. Thanks again to the sponsor of this podcast, Digital Performance Gear, found at digitalperformancegear.com. Thanks again to Tony Nunez and everyone at the Arcadia Symposium for having the Marching Roundtable there to do interviews, and watch for those podcasts from the event. Thanks so much for listening.
If you're a business that works with band directors, marching bands, color guards, or drum lines, you should consider sponsoring an episode of the Marching Roundtable. Our listeners are the exact audience you're trying to reach, and with thousands of podcast downloads each month, it's a great way to directly reach your target audience. For more information, click on the Sponsorship Opportunities link at marchingroundtable.com or email Tim at tim@marchingroundtable.com. You can grow your business and help support what we're doing here on the podcast. Thanks.